In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus from his prison in Rome. And he was a prisoner, not as usual because he had done some evil deed, but for the sake of the Lord. He was free of all those passions that usually end people up in prison. He was not bound by those passions. He was physically in prison because those in worldly power feared the freedom that he had within him. They were bound by their passions. They were bound by their desires. They were bound by bondage to the love of worldly power. No such passions bound St. Paul. Inwardly, he was free, and he preached this inward freedom to the people in Ephesus and to all those that he brought into the faith. He called them to spiritual maturity, that is, to a spiritual freedom from bondage to the passions within us. Freedom from control by the passions. Later on in history, those who were free of these passions and those who could not bear to give up their passions came up with another understanding of what it means to be a human being, came up with another understanding of what it means that we have a relationship to God by our creation. Their idea was that God gave a law, we broke that law, we are guilty. He came into the world and he freed us from our right punishment for our having broken the law. Interesting. No necessity for maturity. Not even the idea that maturity, spiritual maturity in Christ, is possible. That maturity that St. Paul called the Ephesians to. We are forever fallen children, broken, unable to be free, unable to share the divine life of Christ God, which in fact, in reality, is exactly what he brought into the world to give to us. St. Paul says to the Ephesians, walk worthy of your calling. And he's referring to our calling to be free from our passions, not to fear death, not to go out into the world and try to establish ourselves against the fear of death, taking comfort in a false sense of our own strength and our own security. Walk worthy of your calling, St. Paul says. Your calling as Christians, as those who have died in a death like his so that they could arise and be free of fear of death and passions and live out the rest of your life in salvation, freedom from control by the fear of death. Walk worthy of your calling. Act in a way so that you are worthy to call God Father. We are created in his image and likeness. We are not called to a life of fear. We are not called to a life of constantly trying to pull things together so that we could have some false sense of our own strength. Act in a way that you are worthy to call God Father. Gain the maturity of selfless love and live a holy life. That is our calling. That is the human calling. That is the only, truly, and fully human calling. If we follow that calling, then we can go into the world and whatever capacities and abilities we have as the person that we are free to develop and fulfill themselves in a way that affirms our freedom from fear in Christ. The idea that each of us is defined by some unique individualistic calling is not a traditional Orthodox Christian idea, but it is the idea that is universally accepted in the world that we live in. When people go to school, high school or college, the idea is that they will prepare themselves for some job, some specific calling in life that will exploit their talents to some practical purpose. The idea is that every person has to find their own calling. This way of thinking of things separates us from the calling as human beings, as Christians, that St. Paul is talking about. We all have the same calling, to become mature human beings, which is only possible in Christ, only possible as we shed our bondage to our passions. The Blessed Theophylact, when he was considering these passages from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, said, "Humility is the foundation of every virtue, and that is why the Lord began the Beatitudes by blessing the poor in spirit, which means those of a humbled mind." If we are poor in spirit, our mind is humble, not proud. A proud mind cannot descend into the heart. It is the humbled mind that is able to descend into the heart and make the heart its home, so that all of the things that we think and do are informed by a heart that loves God and loves others, a mature heart. Paul says, walk with all humility, all humility. And he means not just saying humble words, not just trying to seem to others to be humble, but be humble in deeds, thoughts, attitude, and speech, because the mind has been humbled and descended into the heart, and what comes forth from the heart are these humble deeds, attitudes, and speech. Do not act in one way with one person and differently to another, but with humility toward all. A person who is humble must also be meek and not easily stirred to anger, the Blessed Theophylact says. The Lord says, learn of me. Learn of me. Learn what it means to be a human being by learning of the Lord. Learning of the Lord Jesus the Christ. He is the bearer of our true humanity. The Lord says, I am meek and lowly of heart. Do this and you shall find rest for your soul. How many of us have peace of soul? Instead, we have minds that are stirred up constantly. So many things are going on in our minds. A wrestling between the passions so violent that we can hardly tell what we want to do next. And we try to figure out which one of my passions do I really want to please most of all? And we confuse that with a search for our true self, the passion that inspires me more than anything else we think is our identity. We are so confused in our minds, so prideful. Meekness is not about cowardice or a lack of strength. It is a self-control that is born of humility, not a false humility, born of strategic pride. Strategic pride, intentionally trying to seem humble to those who are able to serve us if we are subservient to them in words, even though we are not at all subservient to them. But we're being strategic in order to gain an advantage. We use false humility in order to serve our actual pride. That is how confused the heart and the soul and the mind of a prideful person are, who forgets God and forgets that we are created in the image and likeness of God, and that we can only be truly mature by casting off our bondage to passions. A person who lacks meekness is at the mercy of his or her own passions and temper, inwardly and outwardly. We may not show outwardly our temper, our passions, but inwardly they roil inside of us like a boiling cauldron, and we have no peace. But a meek person has Christ's own humble power over his passions and control over his strength. And if we're going to tap into his strength, we have to begin with a submission to his meekness and the maturity of his humility. In Greek, the word for meekness is praros. And a meek horse is a spirited but well-trained horse. Spirited but well-trained. The mind is spirited. There are always a lot of things going on in our minds. A lot of those passions. But they have to be domesticated. Like a wild horse. Meekness is about domestication and training. Domestication and training of the wild passions. Not identification with those wild passions. Putting one passion in particular above the others and letting that passion order all of the things in our mind. With our heart devoted to the fulfillment of the desire of that one central passion or all of those passions as the opportunity comes along in life. And then afterward we say, I don't know why I did that. Because our passions are out of control. Inside we are wild. We are not a domesticated human being. Our heart has not been domesticated. Our mind is wild and uncontrollable. Only such a person who has domesticated and gained control over his passions by loving the humanity of Christ, by desiring to be like Christ, which we can be because we were created in the image and likeness of God. The true new humanity of Christ is not foreign to us. It is our true created nature fulfilled. And so we can share in that humanity, that maturity. And only such a Christian can keep peace within themselves. Not being changed by the things that happen in the world, knocked off balance by terrible things that may happen, knocked off balance by the lack of balance of others. It's only ultimately a matter of what is going on inside of ourselves. We have control over ourselves if we submit ourselves to Christ. According to St. Paul, the Christian virtues are virtues that contribute to the oneness of many persons. That's what he's saying in his letter. Follow the Christian virtues, domesticate yourself, gain control of your wild mind, let that mind that has come to Christian maturity descend into your heart, and you will be able to contribute to the oneness of many persons in this new human nature, our true human nature. This is what we are called to make present in Tekoa. But we can't make it present unless each one of us is devoted to the maturity of our true humanity in Christ, the new Adam. Paul reminds us that it is only by the meekness of true humanity, of true humility, of obedience to God, by repentance, that any of us is able to walk worthy of the calling to be the children of God. Sometimes we are so arrogant that we decide to try to be good Christians on the basis of our own strength. And we fail. We are going to fail every single time. We have to submit our vanity to Christ's humility. Otherwise, we will never be able to gain humility. We will never be the mature Christians that St. Paul says is our calling. That is our calling. St. Paul writes these words from prison, but many of us hear these words from within the prison of our own passions. It is an unnatural condition. When we come and we confess our sins, the ways in which we have missed the mark, we do it in order to ascend to the true humanity of Christ, which is our true nature. None of us is an exception. All of us as persons, as Christian persons, are called to this maturity, the fullness of the maturity of the stature of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, fully God, fully man, and the place where our true humanity, our true selves, is hidden. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.